everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, and every weekend we are here. We're doing life together, and as always, we're glad that you have joined us.
That's right. Happy weekend, Dr. Linda. It's the weekend again, and one thing, you know, when we were practicing in choir the other day, I'm pretty sure you were hitting lots of wrong notes on your alto part. I was sitting, like, what, two people down from you? Pretty sure I heard you were off.
Really?
Most of the evening, yeah.
Really? That was not me, Chris. It was the person in front of me. She's the one who was off pitch. Wait a minute. You're blaming me.
Right.
And I'm blaming her. Is this really a good idea?
Well, if the shoe fits, wear it. Just joking. Seriously, playing the blame game is not good for our relationship. And that's the topic of today's show.
It's very easy to blame another person. And we hear people blaming all the time, I think especially in politics today.
Oh, wow, yes.
You know, I don't know how you feel about it, but I just hate it when I turn on the radio or the TV or I look at something on social media and it's all about victimizing people and blaming people.
You know, it's like, let's talk about the issue and get rid of the he said, she said, and why type stuff. Let's just talk about the problem.
Right, but because it doesn't solve anything.
Right.
And it just makes people feel bad. And it really, I think this is part of what's behind a lot of the hate that we're dealing with in our culture. And it's creating a lot of discord among a lot of people. So blame, we want to say this from the beginning, is toxic and it's corrosive to relationships. It's often how people get rid of their own pain and discomfort. And it makes us feel alone, like we don't measure up.
Mm. So if it is toxic to relationships, why do we find it easy to do? I mean, if it doesn't go well when I do it to other people, and I don't like being the recipient of blame either.
So when something bad happens to us, we typically get upset, angry, emotional. There's some kind of big, strong emotion that's going on. And that's normal when we get upset. But depending on how well we cope with our life or how stressed we are at the moment, we tend to act out and get emotional rather than thinking. So that's part of what happens when people are under stress. They just act it out. They lash out at somebody and they get into that fight or flight mode that you might have heard about when you're stressed. And people go into a protection of themselves. So I've mentioned this a few times in some of our past shows, but our brain is actually wired to find fault with people. Isn't that interesting?
Are you blaming my brain for that?
Well, I'm saying that your brain actually does try to go negative. I think that has to do with why scripture is so specific with how we have to renew our mind and that we have to think on good things. And the Apostle Paul tells us that we have to think on good things because the brain goes negative. So if we identify the bad in the moment that we're overwhelmed and we do what we think makes us feel safe, which is blaming other people, we think things like, oh, they've got to sort themselves out, or I wish they would just disappear, or I wish they would grovel or apologize because they are so wrong. They're the problem, and I can't take this anymore.
Well, see, the problem with this is that if you just react with blame, you usually regret reacting that way later.
That's right. Your emotions are running high, and you say things you wish you had not said. That emotional reaction that you have usually either puts you in the victim role or it can just damage the relationship that you're in at that moment because you're out of control and you're just reacting. Or it can really just put the other person on the defensive mode because they're being attacked by your words.
See, here's the thing. Even if you feel like you have the right to find fault with something that the other person did, and you have every right to feel offended, and you feel hurt, and you feel let down, and you want to complain about their – you know what? I better stop.
There you go. So that was a good demonstration of the emotion that you begin to feel. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It doesn't. It only leads to defensiveness. And then there's more negativity that comes. So let's say, and I'm just making this one up. Let's say that, Chris, that you and your wife have been having issues for some time. You both play a role in your problem as a couple, right? We talked about couples issues a lot on our show. Is one of you really to blame if you both contribute a part to the problem? You could point the finger at the other person. You could even point the finger at your in-laws or somebody else. But doing so isn't going to solve anything. And in fact, it just inflames the situation, especially since both people usually contribute to a problem.
That's right. Then we both get upset and things escalate and then they get emotional.
And neither of you can look at the situation rationally and problem solve then.
So if we know that blaming doesn't work, why do so many of us continue to blame?
Well, one reason is that there's payoff when you blame your partner. So it usually does a number of things. It can stop you from feeling uncomfortable if you blame them. Kind of stops the conversation, doesn't it?
Right.
And then you're not dealing with what you're feeling, which might be really bad. Instead, you're putting the blame on the other person. Or you can blame somebody and you can just sort of dust yourself off and pretend that you don't have a part in this. In other words, you don't have to be accountable for your behavior when you blame. Another reason is you don't feel the need to apologize when you blame other people.
True.
If you're real focused on what they're doing wrong, then it's all about them and it's not about you. And the another reason could be you don't feel the need to make any uncomfortable changes to yourself. So blaming is just an easy way to do that.
But your point is you're now stuck because the situation is likely to stay exactly the same and probably even get worse.
And think about it, especially between couples. Does fault finding, blaming, shaming make your partner fall more in love with you? If you focus on blame, apologies, groveling, waiting for your partner to change, you're just creating more and more bad feelings between the two of you.
You know, research shows that people who blame others also lose status, learn less, and perform worse relative to others.
That's really interesting. Mm. So it doesn't have a good effect even away from the person that you're dealing with. When someone blames, they're really saying, I can't change until you do. If someone blames you for everything, then it's really time for you to speak up, share your perspective, ask them to listen to your point of view. Don't discuss blame by placing blame. Boy, that's a big one for couples therapy.
Wow.
Because when you're blamed, you just want to blame back. And that is a habit that most couples can get into in a relationship that doesn't go well.
I've heard it said that when someone is a chronic blamer, they do it a lot, it's a form of emotional abuse.
It would really be true if you were being blamed for an act or a whole lot of things that you actually don't do. It's like taking a verbal beating from a partner. And when that happens, the blamee who's being subjected to a regular diet of blame may start believing that they're responsible for things that were beyond their control. And I see this. This is when people have really bad self-esteem. They always think they're at fault. And they really don't have any sort of sense of who they are in a relationship. That's a bad place to be.
And if you feel blamed all the time, like what you're saying, it can't help the intimate part of any relationship.
Exactly. And it's difficult to get close to someone or maintain a close relationship if there's always an accusing finger going on. It leads to being defensive, bitter. I think people just don't want to be around people who are
right.
blaming them all the time. Similarly, a blamer who is basing their blame on deceptions to avoid responsibility also may distance themselves in a relationship so that they can preserve their sort of sense of worth.
And we don't want to be around someone who won't take responsibility for their own actions.
Yeah, that's really hard. And that is really detrimental in a relationship. So our basic message in this part of our show is blame is easy to do, but it doesn't take you anywhere. And in fact, it does take you into a bad place.
Well, don't blame me for this, but we have to take a short break. When we come back, how do we respond to people who play the blame game on the Dr. Linda Mental Show?
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today's topic is the blame game, and we've got a lot more to talk about in terms of how to handle blame. But before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. There you will find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media. It's an easy way to know what she is writing about each day. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Linda Mental or on Facebook. And if you need more help dealing with people, get her book, We Need to Talk. And there's always lots of practical help when it comes to relationships. All right, Dr. Linda, so we know blame is harmful to relationships. Let's talk about what we can do when the blame game is being played. It's kind of the worst thing ever if your partner points the finger at you for every little thing that goes wrong. But what should you do if your partner blames you for everything?
And boy, I've seen this in couples therapy. I just have to tell you, sometimes I had this one couple and all they did was do this. It was like watching a tennis ball go back and forth. It was like he said, she said, and it was constant blame.
Yeah.
And it was really tough to deal with. So as the therapist, I had to just actually literally stand up in the session and put my body between the two of them and say, stop. Because there was so much blame going on.
It could be dangerous. You could get hurt.
Yeah, I know, right? So I think it's good to just say, what's up with the blame? Be very straightforward if you're on the recipient end of that and someone is constantly blaming you. And then from there, you've got to make a very conscious effort to listen to what the person is saying. Now, the person has to learn to say it in a better way. And that's probably another show in terms of how the person should give feedback. But you have to really try to listen to what they're saying and then decide if there's any part of what they're saying that really does apply to you. But that's really hard, Chris, when it's put in the blame format. Because when you get blamed, you just get defensive and you don't listen. Another thing that would be very helpful is just be aware of the things that maybe bother the other person and then ask them to look at it and say, is there something that I'm doing that really is bothering you? Or is there something else wrong? Again, why are you doing this? Why are you constantly pointing out the problems? And it cannot work if somebody's not willing to work with you. So this can't be a one-way thing in a relationship. Because the idea here is when you're in any relationship, you're trying to act like a team with that person. And you're trying to be supportive and caring and compassionate. And that's what really helps a relationship get going.
You know, when we get into that defense mode, sometimes we want to look for the first way out. And blame can be an easy way to not deal with the issue.
If you are dealing with something, let's say for the first time, and the person who's dealing with you says, well, you always do that, or you never, that's impossible if it's the first time you've ever brought up the problem, right?
True, right?
You've not heard this before. We do things. We all have problems. We all have flaws. But every time your partner gets the itch to blame, I would say, look, let's just talk about what the issue is here. Because maybe I did something at the moment that bothered you,
right?
But just blaming me for everything that happens or saying I do something all the time is not going to work. So you can get clarity of what's really going on. You can take a look at what's going on with your part of the behavior. If someone is telling you that you're the cause of something, remember in the moment, if you don't really feel like it's true, if you don't really feel like you've done anything, then it's just their opinion.
And we should always be ready to look at ourselves, even if we are 1% of the problem.
And that's a tough thing because, again, the way it's being delivered just makes you so defensive.
Right.
But if there is any part of the problem that is your responsibility, I would say look at that and ask the person then to say, what is it that you think you do that contributes to the problem as well? Again, this is not easy stuff. And sometimes people do have to go to a therapist to deal with this because it's hard to change that pattern.
This next issue would take, I think, some maturity between the two people in the relationship. If this is a problem, should you bring this up during a peaceful, neutral time?
Yeah, so you'd have to be aware that, you know, one person is feeling blamed all the time or that this is a pattern between the two of you. And it would be good. You don't want to do it in the heat of the moment.
Right.
Because we already talked about that when you're in the middle of an emotional reaction, you're going to say and do things that you normally wouldn't if you weren't upset. So you can say to the person, there's a time when we really need to talk about this.
Right.
And then set up a neutral time and say, you know, let's just use words. Let's talk about this rather than blowing up at each other during an argument or during a conflict. And again, remind the person that I want to work with you. I want to be on your team and I want to address whatever problems are coming out. That way you're shifting the relationship away from a blaming dynamic into a more collaborative dynamic.
Now, this one I'm curious about because I've done this and I don't know if it's a good idea. What about when you're blamed, do nothing? Sit there.
I think that's okay for a moment or two or maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes. It's sort of like taking an adult time out. But then you have to come back to the issue and you have to say, okay, sit and listen, get real quiet. They're blaming you and they're saying something. And then say, okay, what do you want to do about that? That way you're turning the temper tantrum or the blame into some kind of a proactive, productive moment. So the person may have a bad habit, probably, again, learned from their family or some other earlier relationship. But the best way to extinguish it is to ignore it. So ignore the blame part and just look at them and say, are you trying to talk about a problem? What do you want to do about it?
Right. So the goal is to get the person to focus on a solution instead of blaming. See, I like that idea. It sounds like the issue is really that the person who blames is avoiding responsibility.
And taking responsibility applies to both the person who's doing the blaming and the person who's being blamed. So avoiding blaming, which means you're really focusing on how we're going to make improvements, that's the goal. That is the goal. Mm-hmm. You want to figure out what is the problem rather than always who's at fault. Blaming is almost never associated with making improvements in a relationship.
When someone blames, you mentioned they can get emotional and reactive. It's hard to deal with when you are the target.
I agree. When you're being yelled at or somebody, like if your boss is just laying you out at work and blaming you, you know, you have a choice. How are you going to respond to that? When it's very emotional, it's really hard to calm down. But that's the key, is for you to really say, I'm not going to take ownership of somebody else's stuff. If you choose to stay in that relationship, and at work, of course, you don't really have much of a choice. You're in the relationship. You do want to do what you can to create a healthy environment. But that doesn't mean that you're responsible for other people, for their happiness, for always pleasing them. You have to sometimes take a stand and create a boundary.
Should you just drop it when someone is blamed unfairly?
I think once the blame starts going back and forth and escalating out of control, it's almost impossible at that point to resolve anything, because then it's just, you know, it's that he did, she did, and right. It's going back and forth. So there's never a winner when that gets to that point. You can win the battle, you know, the saying, you can win the battle, but you lose the war when you do that. So keeping perspective on what's important is really the key. If your goal is to really be close to that person, then sometimes it's worth just dropping the past, putting down your guard, and just being nice to the person.
Is this sort of sidetracking, putting the issue off and denying the issue?
It's a little bit different than denying the problem, because you're dropping your own reactive defensive reaction. You're dropping that. And you're just trying to stop the pattern. So if you calm yourself down and in the moment, you know, instead of just, you know, I want to just fight back.
Right.
That's the instinct that all of us have, is just fight fire with fire. But if you think this isn't going to solve anything and we're really trapped in a very negative pattern, and when you feel triggered by that, if you can focus on relaxing, not reacting, try to calm yourself down, you're going to better manage your reaction, and that's going to change the dynamic of the relationship.
It's funny how when blame starts going around, you get these rabbit trails. And you can't accomplish anything at this point.
Right, because now you're so focused on just making the other person feel miserable.
Right.
You've moved so far away from any solution to the problem.
Well, Dr. Linda, we need to take a quick break. But when we come back, we want to talk about the biblical approach to blame, as well as give a few summary tips on how to stop playing the blame game. More in a minute.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and let me remind you to check out Dr. Linda's books and blogs. Just go to her website, drlindamental.com, and follow her on social media. Occasionally, we post crazy videos on Instagram, which I always get to be the victim of.
That's true. You're a good sport.
And probably we will have one for the show
as
well.
That's true.
And there are so many great blogs on her website, drlindamental.com. All right, Dr. Linda, we've talked about a lot of strategies to deal with blame. Let's give a few general guidelines to deal with the blame game.
Number one, I would say, is don't be drawn into a discussion that is a blaming discussion. Just kind of take a time out, remove yourself, and just try to stay calm.
Right. And stay calm, like you said, and at least be considerate. There's no place for meanness in relationships. You make the mistakes, so do other people.
That's right. If you can keep that perspective that everybody makes mistakes, give the person maybe the benefit of the doubt. You might be wrong, but you can at least think that maybe they're just trying, they're having a bad day or they're having a bad moment or something. And maybe you just don't have the full picture of their life for that moment. So don't jump to conclusion.
How about this one? Avoid yes, you did and no, you didn't arguments.
I like that. And find out whether the person really acted with full knowledge of the consequences of their action. Now, that sounds a little weird, but like, were they really blaming you with the intent of doing you harm?
Right.
So I would say aim to find out if they intended to hurt you, because that would be important to me to know. If somebody blamed me, were they just being inconsiderate or were they really trying to be mean? That would be good to know. One I haven't mentioned, Chris, is don't be tempted to tell your family all about how bad the person was being to you, especially if that person is your partner. It's really easy to do that. Go to your family and start blaming and complaining about them. But if the two of you, especially if the two of you have made up, they're likely to still hold something against that person if you have brought them into your fight.
And what about the responsibility part of this thing? Look at your part in the blame. See if you're the cause.
That's right.
You know, blame has been around ever since the beginning. It's a universal tendency, and it began in the Garden of Eden.
And think about the circumstances. Adam and Eve were communing every single day with God. So these are two people who had God with them every single day, and they still had problems.
Oh, amazing.
That's kind of comforting in a way to know that Adam and Eve struggled and they had God with them every single day. I mean, that's about as intimate as you can get with God, right?
Right.
Yet when Adam, the first man, as we've talked about, when he sinned, he blamed Eve. And the scripture that people have heard is, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate." So Adam did not take responsibility for his actions. And this is a part of us, this pride that looks for someone else to point the finger to when we're confronted with our own sin.
And we justify ourselves just like Adam. I wouldn't lose my temper if my coworkers were more considerate, or, you know, I would be more patient if there weren't such long lines at the grocery store.
We should just do the Adam quote. When we hear people, when we're doing that, we're trying to help ourselves, we should say, "It was that woman you gave me." Maybe we'd cue each other. And, you know, we find our Eve. We do find our Eve to blame. And Eve blamed the serpent. So she turned around and blamed the serpent for her sin. And here it is in Genesis 3:13. "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" So Adam blames Eve and Eve blames the serpent.
And we see blame in the New Testament when Pontius Pilate didn't want to take responsibility for his part in the arrest of Jesus and the impending crucifixion. So he blamed it on the townspeople getting riotous. And then he, of course, washed his hands of it all.
So blame keeps us from humbling ourselves and owning our part of the problem. I didn't realize that Hosea said this, but I found this scripture in Hosea 4 and 5. Listen to this, because this is not a scripture I was very familiar with. "No one should accuse or blame another person." It's right there in the Bible. "Don't blame the people, you priests, when they quarrel with you. You'll be ruined in the day, and your prophets will be ruined with you in the night." So victimization really only destroys people. It doesn't build them up. We've got to be accountable for our actions, for our own words, and for our beliefs. And Chris, Matthew 12:37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So our words of blame really do need to stop.
And you know, we have a good example of refusing blame. Job faced the worst trial of his life, but fought off blaming others and even ran from blaming God. Job 1:22 says, "Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God." That's amazing.
It's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there were all those people, remember, that came around him and were saying to him, "Just blame everybody, just die, just
right.
You know, God is not for you." And he still maintained his faithfulness to God. So that tells me it can be done. When I read that story, I have great hope that I can actually get to the place where I'm not blaming other people. And Romans 14:12-13 reminds us, "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. On the last day, there will be no opportunity for any of us to judge anybody, right? Or to blame anybody. Each of us is going to be judged by God."
I would say biblically, we have enough reason then to refuse to blame or shame other people.
So like Adam, blame says, "You're the problem, not me." And as we mentioned, problems usually involve both people, so it's critical that each person take responsibility for their own part of whatever the ongoing problem might be.
Blame also involves how we talk to people, and it's not respectful.
So when there are problems, both people should agree. They should really agree to speak with gentleness and kindness, thinking of the fruit of the Spirit, keeping the other person's well-being in mind. If the person doesn't feel appreciated and respected, then it's unlikely that they're going to really listen to you and try to meet your needs.
See, the biblical way would be not to blame. That's very different than what we hear in our culture today.
Right. The biblical way is to attack problems, not people. Every problem has a solution if you really look at it. And even if it doesn't, the way you deal with each other is what's important. So if you agree from the onset that you are on the same team, you have to seek solutions, you're going to find them. Blaming and shaming each other will never lead to an effective solution. And you're right, Chris. Once again, the Bible takes a very different perspective than the messages that we're hearing currently in our culture.
And it seems like when we don't turn to the Bible to guide our way of living, it's easy to give in to the temptation to blame.
So Jesus offers us a better way to deal with blame. Even though he was blameless, he took upon himself the sin of the world and he carried it away. He took our sin so that we wouldn't have to blame other people. Once we acknowledge our sin and accept Christ's offer to take it away, we can give away that weight of the guilt, and we can stop looking for someone to blame for what's wrong with us. And we can stop accepting blame from others trying to do the same. So our message is this. You can end the blame game. Assigning blame changes neither your circumstance nor your objectives. It's not my fault minimizes the work of the cross. Proverbs 28:13 tells us, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. If we want to become mature Christians, we need to recognize our faults, confess them to God, and ask for forgiveness. So stop the blame game. Stop looking at others to get you off the hook. At the end of the day, God is more merciful to those who have the courage to take responsibility for their actions. Encourage those around you to take responsibility for their actions because of Jesus, who took all the blame for us. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our social media director, Kelby Keimig, my co-host and engineer, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.